Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. So listen for the word of God. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. And our second reading comes from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. So again, listen for the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
O Lord God, you have blessed us with your holy word, and we ask again that you bless us with the power of your spirit so that we might fully understand the truth behind these words. Amen. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I know that it is already the second Sunday of the new year, but since I was gone last Sunday, this is my first Sunday of the new year. So again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So how did you bring in the new year? I suspect that many of you brought in the new year just as I did, by watching the Buckeyes play football. How many of you said on New Year's Eve morning, what a great way to spend New Year's Eve? And how many said at the end of the evening, what a painful way to spend New Year's Eve? And it was such a painful loss, wasn't it? Well, I noticed, as maybe you did, that the game ended a few minutes before midnight. So we can all rightfully say, that was last year, time to begin a new year. So often we say that about at the New Year's, don't we? Good riddance to the year past, the new year will be better. We certainly said that in 2000 when it rolled over, or excuse me, 2020 when it rolled over to 2021. That Christmas, my daughter got me a mug that said, 2020, one star, do not recommend. Given that the pandemic is still going on and other things aren't really great, we might say the same thing about 2021 and 2022. Do not recommend. Ah, but it is a new year with new hope and new possibilities. Ring out the old and ring in the new and all that. Our passage from Isaiah plays a similar note. For he says, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Similarly, our passage from Revelation talks about the new replacing the old. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And that's what the new year is all about, isn't it? Something new is possible, and God is making it happen. And yet, I was wondering this week, what exactly is so new about the new year? I mean, if it wasn't for a date on the calendar, it would be just about the same, one week following the other. And yet we get all excited that it's a new year, don't we? Well, what I learned this week is that the Greek language of the Old Testament, there are two words in the Greek that are translated as new. One of those words is neos, that we might see used as a prefix these days, as in neoclassical, to refer as to a type of architecture, or Neolithic, which refers to the new Stone Age. I learned that neos has a time element associated with it. It means new in relation to something that previously existed. So neoclassical architecture refers to a new style, but it is based on classical styles of the past. And Neolithic refers to the later or newer stages of the Stone Age in ancient human history. But neos is not the only word for new in the Bible. The other word for new is kainos. Kainos is also translated as new in the Bible, but it has a slightly different meaning in the sense of something that is novel, newly invented, or entirely new in essence. Kainos is not a reinvention of something that has already existed, but is something that is completely different than whatever came before. So when the European explorers traveled across the Atlantic and discovered North America, that discovery was kainos, something completely new to their experience, something unexpected. We might say the same thing about the invention of the telephone or the invention of the discovery of penicillin. These things were surprisingly new, kainos new. And while I was at it, I looked up in Hebrew the word for new that is used in the Old Testament. And it also has a connotation of newness that extends beyond just an addition to what went on before. The root of the word new in the Hebrew of the Old Testament means fresh, as in a fresh idea or something we haven't seen or heard before. Now I know you all. You're all sitting there wondering why I'm giving you a lesson in ancient languages. But I share this because in our passage from Revelation, and in most of the passages in the New Testament, the Greek word that is used is kainos, not neos. For the writers of the New Testament, to say that something is new is to say that it is surprisingly new, unexpectedly new, completely new. So that when the author of Revelation says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, he is not telling us that he saw a spruced up version of what he thought heaven and earth should be. He is telling us that he saw something completely different than what he or any of the rest of us should understand heaven and earth to be. It's that newness that the New Testament refers to. This is Epiphany Sunday. Sunday that we recognize the wise men made the trip, as Heather told us, to visit the baby Jesus. They made that trip because they looked up into the skies and saw something completely new, something completely out of the ordinary, something they didn't expect, and it caused them to act upon it. So the question that arose in me as I considered the word new is that what does the word new mean to us today? As we enter the new year, what form of new are we entering? Are we expecting a modest improvement over the past year? Or are we hoping for something that is surprisingly different from last year or any year that we've had before? Are we looking for a neos new, where we just transition from one year to the next? Or are we looking for a kainos new, that we might see God doing something surprisingly new in our lives? Such questions come to mind in the new year as we consider what it means for God to be active in our lives in the new year. As Isaiah tells us, God is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah uttered this prophecy when the children of Israel were in exile in Babylon. They were captives, slaves really, in a foreign land, far from their homeland, far from the temple in Jerusalem, which was the center of their faith and the place where they thought God lived. But into their misery and into their hopelessness, Isaiah delivers a word from God. Something new is happening. Pay attention. This God, Isaiah tells them, whom you've always associated with the temple in Jerusalem, is more than you can ever have possibly imagined. This God, whom you thought was over there while you were stuck over here, is not limited to a time or a place. This God, whom you have lost faith in your captivity, has never lost faith in you. This God, Isaiah tells them, is doing a new thing, a fresh thing, a surprising thing. This God is your God wherever you are and whatever your circumstances. This God will continue to love you and save you. This is the new thing that God is doing amongst the people. Isaiah's message to his people and to us is that God is capable of far more than we can even imagine. God is doing far more than we are even able to perceive. The author of Revelation tells us the same thing. When I saw a new heaven and a new earth, see, the home of God is amongst mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. The God we worship up there is right here amongst us. And we are given the task to perceive it. And I think that is the challenge for the new year, to perceive the presence of God amongst us, to perceive the new thing that God is doing in our lives, to look for that surprising thing that God will make happen. And who knows? Who knows what that might be? What we do know, that this is what God does and is doing. New things that challenge us, comfort us, mold us, reassure us, and change the world. And we are called to look for that. As we enter the new year, we might be asking, what's new? We might be asking, what does the new year hold for me, for you, for the world? And we can only wonder, will there be success? Will there be comfort? Will there be happiness? Will there be joy? Will there be peace? And we can hope. Hope and look. Look for the surprising new things that God is doing in the world and in your life. That is what the new year brings. It is what every new year brings. It's what every day brings. Always the same God, but always in surprisingly new ways. As one Christian author once said, our hope is not in the new year, but in the one who makes all things new, surprisingly new. Amen.